Hello and welcome to, shit, what's the name of the show?
Cutthroat Kvetchen.
Yeah, I got it. I literally write down the intro and I still fucked it up. Hello and welcome to Cutthroat Kvetchen, the podcast where sabotage isn't just talked about, it's up for debate. I'm William Hughes, a guy who's got 99 problems, but cooking ain't one, and I'm joined, as always, by the official culinary ambassador to podcasting, Gary Butterfield.
Hell yeah, I am. Last night I made a nice succotash and two beautiful ribeyes. Delicious.
That sounds really nice, Gary. I don't, off the top of my head, remember what goes in a succotash. Zucchini?
It can. It's pretty versatile. The kind of required ingredients are corn and lima beans.
Okay.
Lima. But there's and then vegetables. And then you kind of season it how you like. I put some figs in there and some goat cheese, some balsamic. It's quite okay. Good. I did a fancy dinner last night.
Yeah, a little Mediterranean succotash.
It was kind of more the more of like a hot honey kind of flavor profile I went with it. Mediterranean ingredients.
I tried to engage.
I just wanted to clarify my succotash because it was good succotash. Made my wife fancy dinner.
Oh, what a good husband you are.
I'm great at being a husband.
Yeah, you're really good, Gary. I think a lot of people lately have been down on you and telling you how much you suck and how weak you are.
Yeah.
You're good.
I'm at least good as a husband. I feel like Liv has no reason to lie.
Oh, I mean, that's an incredibly complicated thing to say, and we could spend a whole episode analyzing it, but I'll just accept it at face value.
Spare my feelings, but why would she want to spare my feelings if I was a bad husband?
Oh, because you become more monstrous when your feelings are hurt.
I don't become more monstrous when my feelings are hurt, though.
That's what people are telling you. We're doing Cutthroat. Sorry, Gary, what?
Nothing. Easter egg for the listeners.
Sure. So, listener, we understand that the Yomi that we are engaging in, we are now at 3 episodes straight of Cutthroat Kvetchen. I'll tell you, we're double recording today, so you're going to get another one next week. Mm-hmm. At some point, you're going to start thinking about whether it's safe to recommend this to people who like Cutthroat Kitchen.
Yeah, and I'm going to plant a flag in the sand right now. We're never going to let you feel safe, and you will never actually be safe. Like, the Everything to Guppy promise is you will never know security, and that goes for the host and the listeners.
Yeah.
So don't fucking think about it.
I was joking about it in the Discord, but the more you praise us for doing this, there's a little engine. I think people assume it's me. It's you more than me. The impishness.
I do like to, it is fun to me to surprise people.
Yeah.
And it is fun to me to be on the vanguard of experimental podcasting.
Yeah. And I will always yes and these things because I don't give a fuck and I do think it's funny. But well, you like I just that too. Want people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do want to know that 80% of the time, the how can we fuck with the listeners impulses are coming from Gary.
Yeah. I enjoy doing that. It's my Brayton DNA. Playing both sides against the middle.
Because you have lots of podcasts. You can fuck this one up and it's not a big deal.
It's literally that, yeah. It's this is the place to go fast and break stuff.
Yeah.
The other podcasts bring in the money. This podcast does give me an excuse to rewatch Cutthroat Kitchen from the beginning.
But you got to have a Hulu subscription for that, so arguably a loss leader.
Tax write off. That doesn't actually do anything. It just sounds like when I was a kid I thought it did something.
Yeah,
we all have so many to do something to actually make a difference. It's fucking crazy. It's such a funny, we can write that off. That doesn't mean what you think it means.
I do the taxes for the house, and I have to, Olivia's like, you can write this. I'm like, I'm taking the standard deduction, love. We don't have that much business shit.
I keep thinking I'm going to get there, so I keep taking deductions of stuff and writing things off. And someday I'm going to fucking get there. This year, Liv and I are going to talk about a bunch of things we did on our trip to Illinois.
Oh, nice.
For something for the network. And I'm like, I'm going to fucking claim all of that. I'm going to turn that into content and claim all of that. That's got to fucking get me there, right?
Gary, I just remembered that we're doing two of these and this show is inherently long. We cannot.
This one's a little boring, though. Like the next one's going to be the juicy one. But yeah, you're right. You're right. I'm just saying this one's a little bit boring.
Gary, before we get into the stuff in the notes, I wanted to ask a cutthroat kitchen episode or question.
Mm-hmm.
Do C-K-Q. You? That's K. Cut CKQ. Yes. Sorry, I had a lot of trouble getting those letters in order in my brain. Do you think I'm sick?
You might be. I think you're sick in a skating sense.
My brain went to ice skating when you said that. I might need some tests.
Are you just tired?
I've never ice skated, so I don't know what's wrong.
It's a way to lose your ankles. It feels like the scariest thing in the world.
A big fat man on ice skates, you don't want to see it. No. Gary, do you think that when they cast this, they are mentally cataloging who they think is going to go out first?
It's a good question. I know that they cast, getting it, this would be a good opportunity for like a special or a live version of this show where we talk about conspiracy theories.
Sure.
And we should save them up because that's pretty good. And I feel like the next episode has huge. They came up with the challenges based on what the contestants did.
Absolutely. There's a challenge in that next episode that is there's a sabotage where they absolutely pulled that out of their asses.
Yeah.
But I think there is a weak chef in this in this set that I think sticks around longer than they thought she would because someone else fucks up so bad.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, Cutthroat Kitchen, Cutthroat Kvetchen conspiracy theories coming soon.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Today in headlines, Gary, can you read the Today in headlines?
Yeah. Dolphin apocalypse on New York beaches. I didn't expect this. On today's headlines this time.
Yeah, I've been hitting the New York Post. I don't think is a great publication, but it is a really good place to get weird fucking headlines.
Dolphin apocalypse can mean so many fucking things.
Yeah, maybe the Nintendo finally went off after the emulator.
Maybe it's Enzabon.
That was good, man. That was thanks. You just came up with that, huh?
Yeah,
that was good.
I did. Because I was thinking, dolphins invading and then a dolphin version of Apocalypse, who, like, Apocalypse does have dolphin features. Like, he's got the kind of lips and stuff.
Yeah, he's not undolphin-like.
Yeah. This is a wave of dolphin devastation, the likes of which have not been seen in 30 years.
What happened in 1986? Or, no, wait, this was 2013, so 1983.
And scientists are desperately searching for answers. One answer I'd like is, what the fuck do you mean? I know it means dolphins are dying. I'm just getting that from the bounding box of reality.
Yeah.
But just a wave of dolphin devastation really does sound like they're like drowning beachgoers.
Yeah. I try not to read further on these. Yeah. I prefer to live in the mystery.
The mystery is good.
Yeah. At the box office, it's still The Butler. I don't know what to tell you. This show came out weekly. Sometimes things don't change.
Well, and Blurred Lines.
Yeah.
Consent bad this year. And was that a result of Cutthroat Kitchen? See us next time on Cutthroat Kvetchen Conspiracy Theories.
Let's meet the chefs, Gary. Because we're now doing this enough for me to have thoughts on how to do it, I'm mixing it up. We will now be saving Did They Die until chefs are eliminated. Give it a little extra drama.
Yeah. We're starting with my least favorite chef here.
Interesting. Okay.
You like Zadi? Chef Free Zadi.
I think he's at least got some personality to him.
He does have some. I mean, I guess that is true. Everyone's pretty boring in this. This is a pretty boring episode. This guy's not boring. He's just like punch out levels of stereotype.
He really is.
Like if there was punch out for cooking, this would be the Glass Joe of punch out for cooking.
It's a great fucking idea, man.
Yeah. Punch out for cooking is a great idea.
Yeah.
Like you all the races make their food, you know,
Nationalities.
I know. Instructor at chef at Le Cordon Bleu, which stands for a little piece of chicken with some stuff in it.
Yep.
6 feet tall, 180 pounds. Not bad looking. French accent is always killer. Extremely thick accent.
It's a very thick accent. It's weird. Halfway through the episode, the editors are like, "We got to start subtitling this guy."
Yeah. It's which I like. Great name here. Next one, Chef Julie Cutting.
Yeah, this is my least favorite chef today.
No, yeah, she sucks. But I really do like because I want to change my name to Gary Podcasting.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah,
Liv would have to change her name though too, or else the patriarchy would get mad.
But, yeah, they might get mad. But you did it.
I did. I hyphenated. I'm a feminist.
You did a hyphen thing. The Liv didn't want me to. She likes the name. One of the things I'm glad you pointed this out. Executive chef says, I look pretty on the outside, but I got cuts, burns, you know, and I'm like, where the fuck are they?
It's true. She's we've already seen this kind of human template before on the show.
Yes.
She's a pretty lady chef.
Yes. We're going to get another one next episode as well. Chef Tanya Charles, private chef. She worked on NASA. She brings it up twice.
Twice. Not enough to make it a narrative.
Yes. Working for NASA, you get strategizing.
Yeah. By the way, I looked her up. I did a bunch of research on her. She was an administrative assistant and project leader at Jet Propulsion Laboratory. She's not a fucking, you know, she's not an engineer, but obviously that was still like heavy work and stuff.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, NASA, you know.
I like Chef Tanya. Chef Charles is, it's so weird who gets last names and who gets first names in the show.
The last name game in this one is we're going to get to the next one.
Yeah.
But I could not read as Chef Scorpion.
That's really
every good. Single time it popped up, I kept thinking, oh, Chef Cutting and Chef Scorpion, like this is a parable.
That the parable of the scorpion and the knife.
Yeah, like I had to stab you, Scorpion. I'm a knife.
Aesop was real drunk. This woman, she's probably the most charismatic of these four. Mm-hmm. She also goes completely insane as the stress builds. She has some of the wildest lines I've ever heard in this episode.
Yes.
And a full-on Joker laugh.
I'm glad you noticed that as well. Yeah. And then we got Chef Scorpion, personal chef, and he doesn't like trained chefs, which I appreciate. You know, I've got that punk DIY spirit as well. Talks about thinking outside the box, doing weird stuff. Like people put A, B, and C on the plate. He puts A, F, and Y on the plate and make it taste good.
Yeah, this is Chef Mike Scipione. He's a Philadelphia guy, which you'll hear about 9 million times because of the first meal today. He's kind of a caricature.
Yeah, this guy ended up being my soft favorite just because Chef Scorpion.
Sure.
I found it hard to latch on to people in this episode. This is, you know, I mentioned it before. We're going to make a fun episode of this podcast. This episode of the show is not great.
No, it's fairly weak. The sabotage game is fairly weak. We'll talk about it, but yeah.
Alton comes down wearing a navy suit, this kind of boxy collar, but still looking good.
He looks okay. I don't think Alton makes sartorial choices in both these episodes. Sorry to treat these like they're two at one. We're recording them both at the same time. You'll live with
it. It's the first time we've done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I like how Alton looks.
Okay. Yeah. I generally like how he looks. I just think the more slender man he is, I think the better.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You're gonna get 60 seconds in the kitchen to make your stuff. What was that?
In the pantry.
In the pantry. Thank you. 60 seconds in the kitchen would be great. And cutting. 60 seconds not enough time.
I made goo.
I just I made a prepackaged sandwich.
Here's cereal.
Yeah.
Watch Quibi.
I love the reverse cutthroat kitchen. You have 30 minutes in the pantry and then you have 60 seconds and your meal is cereal.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I like it. Just they're all hanging out. They're talking about their lives.
Yeah. Really get into it. Really kind of chop and screw it.
Doing a lot of gamesmanship.
You're getting Lucky Charms.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
I don't know.
And you know they're made of spider sugar?
Yeah. Oh. You know they call them marbits.
Marbits? I like a marbit. I actually don't like a marbit that much, but I like the word. It's like a lentil.
I love
a marbit.
I love the weird, the dry. I love that texture is so good to me.
It's they make cereal where it's just that, which not saying you should get that, but it's interesting that they do because it without the contrast, it feels pretty deadly to me.
Yeah, no, Gary, that sounds horrible, dude.
But they sell it. Chef Frenchie says, is Chef Frenchie who says this?
Yeah, this is Zadie. Line? Sorry, I don't always write down who says stuff because
I think this was Zadie.
This is Zadie.
Having $25,000 in my pocket makes you feel like, yeah, I'm going to take that home. Scorpion says, you dangling $25,000 in my face. How do you get better than that? And I was like, $26,000, man.
What? It's 25.
No, I'm saying, but if how do you get better than that?
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right, man. Also, I feel like it's worth pointing out, everyone has to act like this is real money. It's fake money. We all know it's fake money.
It's good that it's fake money because they lick it and shit.
Yeah.
Like, they're always doing things to the money. The dish one's a Philly cheesesteak, and Scorpion's from Philly. Really thinks he's got that.
Yeah, I know. I write this down. It feels like they went with deliberate. Again, this is conspiracy theories. All three of these, the rounds today, are very American dishes, and it feels like they did it specifically to fuck with Zadi.
Even though I do think that he's overplaying how scary a cupcake would be, given that it's so a cake in a smaller container.
It's so scary, the cupcake. Yeah.
Like, a cupcake's not that hard. He cooks pastries.
Much to the dismay of the Cutthroat Kitchen producers, Scipione fucks himself in the pantry.
He does two things. He's got a bunch of cherry tomatoes. He forgets bread, which is so stupid. But he also gets the world's largest container of red pepper flakes. Did you notice that? He has a silo of red pepper flakes.
I did not see the silo of red pepper flakes.
It's like, that can't be how this is the only way you can get them in the kitchen. Like, they just use one of these every time. Because I can't imagine they're putting the food back after
they probably give it to food pantries.
Yeah. But yeah, just the more red pepper plates, red pepper flakes than could ever be. And Cutting wants to save her money.
Yeah. She's sometimes you get a not bidding type. Yes. Well, overall, this is a pretty... is this a cheap crew or a spendy crew? This is a cheap crew.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, this is relatively cheap. This is not bad. I feel like this is kind of appropriate. Cutting tool swap is the first challenge. This is classic. One person gets a deli slicer.
You keep saying challenge. These are sabotages.
Sabotages, thank you. Somebody gets a deli slicer, one gets a paring knife, one gets plastic cutlery, and the other one gets kids' safety scissors.
This is fine as far as, like, it's one of those hit-all sabotages, which is always...
It's interesting. It's a hit-all with graduated consequence, because these are not created equal.
Yeah, yeah. This is a design they go to fairly often. Charles gets this for $5,200, which is about I think what you want. She takes the deli slicer because she's not doing any, like, bread cutting or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout this, Chef Cutting is going to get the lightest hits because no one takes her seriously.
Yes, a little bit of cutthroat sexism happening. And the Scorpion and the Frenchman immediately are like, this is my only threat in this. She takes the slicer, gives the paring knife to Cutting, the scissors to Zadi, and the plastic to Scorpion. This is throwing everybody. Chefs are weird about their knives.
They're so weird about their knives.
Yeah. I'm the closest thing I was trying to understand this. I think about being a musician. And I have like an instrument that I like. And I like that because of like settings and shit. It's not because of like a spiritual connection to my ex or like whatever.
The weight of the keys or something. How much resistance is in the keys?
This feels pretentious to me.
Can you play guitar?
I can play ukulele and kind of play a little bit of bass guitar. But not actual guitar.
Triple threat, ladies. Soon. Married, though.
Yeah, very, very married. Apparently I'm good at it.
Chef Scipione gets his plastic cutlery, he goes, I prefer takeout, which is a real classic. I didn't have a line for this.
No, that's not a joke. It just had to say something. The second swap here, swapping all of the cheese for an enticing bowl of white. That is cottage cheese. Mm-hmm. Cottage cheese is good. You can do cool things with it. I agree. This is not a big deal.
I think Charles gets this for pretty... someone calls it the diet soda of cheeses.
Has to be, sure.
But it's fine. Like, it has a nice cheesy flavor. It's mild, but like... Anyway, Charles gets it for $3,600 and gives it to Zadi.
Yeah. And then sabotage three is the frozen mystery meat. $3,300 to Scorpion, which doesn't seem like very much money because we don't know what this is. And it gets piled on Zadi. Everyone's taking out Zadi.
Yeah, Alton makes a point. It's the first time in Cutthroat Kitchen history that anyone's been hit by all.
And it's a rich history at this point.
It really is. Where it's episode 4, and also one of these was a hit all sabotage. So
yeah, kind of bullshit. But this is all on Zadi, the Frenchman.
Yeah, I think this is the meanest of these three sabotages. Frozen meat, I hate. And not knowing what your protein is also pretty rough.
It's really bad, I think, with the cottage cheese specifically, even though I think the cottage cheese on its own is pretty chill.
Yeah.
Because if you could just take like a luncheon meat and if you fry that enough and then coated it in like cheese and onions, it would taste like a Philly cheesesteak. But not with cottage cheese. You need like a melty cheese.
Yeah. That being said, I think the meat is either chopped or is so thin as to be extremely easy to chop. So that is kind of a benefit for him.
It looked a little bit like lunch meat to me.
Yeah,
but I'm not totally sure. We watch them do this. You know, the cooking, there's usually not a whole lot going on. It is funny to watch somebody cut a pepper with children's scissors. I'm glad you pointed
that out. It really is. You watch it, you go, oh, that's fun to see. Good job, guys.
Yeah, I like that. And we do get to see some improvisation in this episode and the next episode, which I always like.
Mm-hmm.
The scorpion ends up taking the lid off a tomato can and using that as a knife.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
Like it. And because it's season one, tons of mid-round sabotages.
They love to mid-round sabotage in season one.
Yep. Two chefs having to share a burner.
So this is the first time they've done a kind of sabotage that they get really into in later seasons, which is forced cooperation.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually this is in later seasons, it's on like a seesaw.
Yeah.
Like it's real wild. This is a pretty simple version of it.
There's one burner. They have to share it. Chef Scipione's a real scamp about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Zadi bids and then double thinks his bid.
Yeah. He goes 1,000 and then goes 4,000.
Yeah. Oh, outthinks himself. He's very stressed. He's got a lot of sabotages and he's not used to being an American Philly cheesesteaks.
Gary, he's so fucking French.
He's really French. I don't have anything against the French, but he's also kind of all of the stereotypes people don't like about the French. Like he's real arrogant. Like when he makes a good food, he's like, I am not even from this country, but I make the best food of it. Like he's all of the stereotypes.
Remember to block my left punch and then counterattack with the right.
Yeah, he's constantly, and the only way to defeat him is to go left, 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 right, left.
You return to the beginning of the episode. All right.
No, we don't have time. So Zadi, this goes to Zadi for 5,000. Gives it to Scorpion and Charles.
I have Chef Cutting listed as the Greek chorus chef.
Yeah. Just kind of who wasn't involved in any of this and has not gotten anything or anything and just goes, pay back some other.
Yep.
Like just backing everybody up. Chef Charles, tons of sabotage here. Puts mustard on the cheesesteak, which is crazy. And says, I've known people in Philly to ask for mustard.
Yeah, that's not a good reason to put it on there.
No, it's not what a Philly cheesesteak is at all.
Like, obviously they don't know the judges. They don't know which judge they're getting. This is such a fuck to the Philly cheesesteak profile. If you order mustard on a Philly cheesesteak, it's because you don't like one of the main flavors in a Philly cheesesteak.
100%. And it's only mustard. It's not like adding some mustard. Mustard is the sauce. So, you're not getting that, Philly cheesesteaks are super greasy and indulgent and wet. Like, you want a mayo mouthfeel.
Yeah,
from a Philly cheesesteak. Just fucking cheese whiz. Like it's the opposite of mustard.
Like, and I'm not a huge Philly cheesesteak guy. Like, I think the flavors tend to be kind of on the mild side. So I could I could totally fuck with a Philly cheesesteak with mustard on it. But if I was making it in a cooking competition, no.
People go crazy and think they're trying to be creative in this.
Yeah. The other thing that happens with that single burner challenge is Chef Scipione keeps, anytime he can, taking Chef Charles's stuff off the burner. I always wonder what the rules are. Like, you have to be putting your own stuff on it so you can justify it or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
The rules are always, sometimes the rules on Cutthroat Kitchen are less clear than we would like as game show fans.
Yeah. It makes me want to know, get behind the scenes.
Like, I would love to see the actual like rules.
What if we did this show long enough to get you invited on an episode of the show as judges?
We've talked too much shit about malarkey already.
Oh yeah. I forgot about, we did that malarkey episode. Malarkey's reign will end, you know, at some point. Like we can outlive him.
It's fun to imagine, but I don't know. He might be younger than us.
No, I just mean his tenure. You know, we're patient. We're like Dracula's. We like measure out our vengeance in centuries.
That is a lot like Dracula's.
By which I mean the 12 years we have left to live.
Yeah.
So Simon's back, baby. Simon Majumdar.
Three Simon episodes in a row. I feel like they don't do this later on. I feel like they're a lot better about not. Yeah. Double, like tripling up.
We do get one of Simon Majumdar's famous just declarative statements, though. My favorite thing about him, where he's like, you know, hey, Simon, would you like Philly cheesesteak? He goes, one of the great sandwiches in America. I'm like, you know what, man? It is one of the great sandwiches in America.
It's certainly an American sandwich. Yes.
Yeah, Larky's
53, by the way. So you got a couple years on him.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take him. Zadi made a European ricotta steak sandwich. I don't know if it's steak. We have really nobody has there.
He thinks it's turkey and I don't remember what else he says.
Turkey and beef, I think he said. Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like a perfectly nice sandwich. Simon tries to get it on technicals, like, I think it's a good sandwich. Is it a cheesesteak? Oh, I doubt that.
Yeah.
That's my Simon.
You know, does not remind him of a cheesesteak. He's gonna start saying that phrase later.
I got really struck in this moment by the beautiful light shining through Simon's gigantic ears.
I love Simon's God Ray ears.
Yeah.
Like it's some fucking graphics card tech like showing off brand new units at Best Buy.
J.J. Abrams is shooting something. He asked Simon to come over and stand between
his ears
and the light. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, when you saw Laura Croft stand up in the tomb through Simon Majumdar's ears, I knew we were in the next gen.
I knew I was aroused.
Yeah, I was too. And then she got impaled by a girder, and that just, you know, that's referencing how she used to get hurt all the time for and make sex moans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Specifically, the 2013 Tomb Raider?
Yes. A lot of impalements. Which is a pretty fun game, but that's like, fine. Boy, it's just a lot of her getting impaled. The cutting makes a grilled strip steak Napoleon with melted Monterey Jack cheese and crispy bread.
It's fine looking. It's a sandwich, right?
And the bread is crispy. Simon's getting it real wrapped around the axle on whether it's crispy bread. He's like, oh, I do like the crispy bread. And then later someone says it's crispy bread. And he goes, I do like that the bread is crispy.
But he also on Zadi, he's also like, but the bread on a cheesesteak is supposed to be soft.
So I know.
Like,
yeah,
what
he's
do
all
you
over
want
the place
from a Simon?
I know. He's a fickle god. He has a little line here where he says, I think if this were any more undercooked, it would still be mooing. And it's because he doesn't want people to think he's saying moving. Mm-hmm. He thinks it's a better joke than that. I think that he's maybe worrying too much between very fine points of distinction here.
I just like how he says mooing.
I do like that.
Mooing. Reminder, Chef Cutting didn't have anything fucking with her cooking.
No.
She just fucking undercooked her steak. Although I like a rare steak, but...
Yeah, no reason. He even says, you know, I like a rare steak as well, but this is raw, basically. Charles really fucked everything up. We got a big bacon cheesesteak, and it's got, this is the one with mustard. I think mm-hmm. bacon's a weird ingredient for a cheesesteak, personally.
Is. It is. It is.
Like, I wouldn't turn it down, but I think it's not right. And mustard is all I can taste, because mustard's a bully. Like, I love mustard, but it is a bully condiment.
Yep. But still, this is obviously the most edible of these.
Yes. Yeah. And then scorpion. Has his take on a Philly pizza steak. What the fuck are you talking about, Scorpion?
No, I think that's like a thing. Like a pizza. Like, hold on. I didn't look this up before. Like a Philly pizza steak.
It's like Charlie Kelly
okay,
food.
Pizza steak is a thing. Pizza steak is a thing. Maybe.
I've never heard of it. I should look that up because it sounds delicious.
I mean, yeah, it's a steak parmesan.
Okay. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
This isn't that, though.
It's kind of close. It's closer to that than a fucking Philly cheesesteak.
That is true. Yeah.
He did nothing to make this a sandwich.
Yeah, like, there's no sandwich at all. It's just a piece of steak with tomato sauce and cheese.
It's very Applebee's.
It's extremely slamming Applebee's Friday night zinger. You know, it's not a sandwich, but the steak is cooked well.
You know, yeah, but, no, it looks like a great plate of food, man.
I would eat the shit out of this. I made a nice ribeye last night at Succotash, and it was quite good.
I heard about the Succotash.
It was quite good. He goes, but I think this is cute. Simon goes, but it ain't a Philly cheesesteak. And then he completes it. Scorpion goes, sandwich. Kind of completing it for him. Okay.
He's trying to suggest this is a Philly cheesesteak, just not a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's not. It has absolutely no flavors in. It has no flavors in common.
No, they spell and pronounce their names differently. Scorpion is eliminated. And the Frenchman makes a little dance. He hates Scorpion.
I like his little dance. He does like a little full arm shimmy.
Yeah. I like that he dances too. I think it's when he starts getting arrogant about it, it kind of starts rubbing me the wrong way.
I'm sorry, man. Yeah.
It's okay.
Glass Joe does also dance.
That is true. Yeah. He's got some Glass Joe qualities. Yeah. And he should not have forgotten bread. That's mind-bogglingly stupid.
It's really bad. And it's, I think genuinely the show was mad at him for doing that. Like,
yeah,
we made all these sabotages.
Yeah. They should be fucking mad. It sucks.
But also you can do like, we'll see it next episode. Some woman puts cabbage on either side of a thing and gets away with calling it a sandwich. You just have to do something to call it a sandwich.
Yeah. Putting it between two salads, basically.
Yeah.
Is he dead? No.
Gary, he's not.
Yeah.
Gary, it makes me mad when you act like you did the research here.
Oh, I did. Well, I didn't do the research. I'm just keeping the show moving.
I know you are. It's good hostmanship. It's my problem as a person, but I want to tell you about
Let me make it clear to everyone listening for now and forever. Will does the notes on this show.
Yeah.
Research is done entirely by Will. It takes a long time. He works really hard on it.
But also, I just want to tell you the story is what's really happening.
Well, tell me the story.
Yeah.
I just wanted, was setting you up to tell the story. I was saying he's not dead, so you can tell me the story.
Gary, I love you so much, and I'm sorry I'm so mad.
God, you're insecure. Fucking tell the story.
Gary, is he dead?
No, he's not dead.
What's he up to?
No, you tell the fucking story.
Yeah, he's got a restaurant in New Jersey. Honestly, he's not very interesting. The one thing I'll say about him is, for all his not a trained chef shit, his restaurant is the most like dumb person's idea of fancy. It's called Sano in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It's a prefix for $125, and it does like duck confit pot stickers and Chilean sea bass, like all that stuff where you go, oh yeah, I can charge dumb people a lot for this.
Might be good. You know, like probably tastes wrong fine. With those foods. Yeah.
Yeah.
And $125 for fancy dinner is about standard. Like that's pretty good for super fancy dinner if it actually is good.
But, yeah. I found an Instagram video where he was rolling out I think pasta dough in a sleeveless shirt, and it was shot a little sexy and it had 24 likes.
Yeah. He's we didn't talk about how hot Scorpion is.
Not very.
Yeah. Cutting. Hot in this, like, the men are not hot in this one, but out of the two men, I think he looks less like a cryptid.
Sure. He's kind of a bald bull type to keep the metaphor going.
Yeah. They should make a punch out with ladies in it. So we can do this. Round two is cupcakes.
I can't go with you there, man.
No, I don't, but like what if it was ladies versus ladies, like a female MMA, you know, ladies punch each other for sport.
It's true. What if they were just friends, though? What if we didn't? What if it was? What if they just hung out in a
forest and gathered ingredients?
Men and women. I don't like the violence.
Yeah, I am too big a fan of Punch Out to dislike it.
I know. Me too.
It's the only thing I like about boxing.
I'm too tired to have a coherent position on whether it's better to watch women punch each other than men.
It feels like it's worse, but I feel like that's also sexist. So I'm not too tired, but I don't. This is not the time or place.
Just rate it. Women, just rate for me on a scale of acceptability. Men punching women, women punching women, women punching men.
Men punching men?
at the top.
In sport? Are we talking about a sport context?
I don't feel any like context. You deserve context.
Any context, men punching men, top.
Sure, best.
It's pretty good. After that, I'm going to say women punching men, then women punching women, then men punching women.
Okay. So Gary thinks men punching women is in his top four of things he'd like to
see. It is in my top four in terms of the genders punching. This is non-binary racer. That's kind of the, not the, my new superhero I'm making up, who goes in as kind of a universal donor and can punch and be punched by all.
Sure. Completely acceptably. Gary has no problem with seeing a non-binary
wild card. This round two is cupcakes, and people have so much fucking strum and drang about this. Who is it who says this line? Because it's
Capri
Chef.
It's Cutting.
It's Cutting. My mother told me they're gonna give you cupcakes.
And she did.
What a weird thing for your fucking mother to say.
But also, get your mother in the precog vat. She's a precog.
That is pretty good.
A random weird thing is later on they save desserts for round three most of the time.
Yes.
They're kind of playing it fast and loose here.
I got Liv to watch this one with me because I wanted to watch one last night, so I didn't have to watch two this morning.
Sure.
And she was really frustrated by that. She's like, what the fuck is this show? Why are they doing this now?
Yeah.
Zadi does not like making a cupcake. He's never made a cupcake. He's going to make a deal about what cupcakes are there. Everyone's acting like a cupcake is a really big deal in this. I can't make cupcakes. I can't bake. But all of these people say they can make cake. And I turned to Liv, who is an excellent baker. And I was like, cupcake is basically like cake mix in a small container, right? And she says, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty, like, so I don't think Zadi makes cakes, period. I think he makes, like, French pastries, if he makes anything.
Okay.
But it is, yeah. I don't know. It doesn't seem that scary. Baking generally is kind of scary in Cutthroat Kitchen, but, yeah.
Cupcake just seems like it'd be easy. You make a small amount, and it feels rife for deconstruction to me.
Yeah. On the way out the pantry, Alton says, you got out by the hair on your chinny chin chins.
Yeah, man.
Alton loves his bridge troll, persona.
Yeah. Yeah. He almost catches somebody, in one of these episodes. He really likes it. Here we get our sabotages here. The first one is a store-bought crudité plate. So carrots, celery, ranch, and you have to use a little bit of everything.
I think is meaner conceptually than it is in practice, because you can just do what Chef Charles does with this, which is mix it all up, like cut
use
it all
a little
down,
bit
mix
of it.
It all, yeah,
and like carrots, she's making apple cupcakes.
Yeah,
carrots and apple go together great. Like ranch is the scariest thing about this to me, and she makes it work, so good on her.
I would be a little weirded out by the celery. I think
it's got it real small. Yeah. But it also, the celery ends up being kind of a secret weapon. Majumdar loves the celery in his cupcake.
Mm-hmm.
Second sabotage is the microwave. We are on episode 4 of the show on Alton Brown Microwave Watch. I keep waiting for the episode where Alton Brown turns conspiratorially towards the camera and goes, the microwave is not a death sentence, and does his whole spiel that he does, I would say conservatively in the entire length of the series, 30 times.
Yeah, lots
it's
of
so
time.
So good.
That being said, for baking, it is worse than it's a lot nastier than it could be for a lot of other stuff. This goes for quite a bit. For a crew that doesn't bid high, like these are all like $100 up bids and stuff.
Yeah.
This goes for $5,100.
Yes. Not, you know, pretty high by the standards of this episode. Not ideal for this thing you're making. You can make a microwave cake as a thing. It's just different. It's not going to be as good. But I just, every time he sabotages a microwave, I'm like, is this the fucking episode where he starts talking about that? Has not happened yet.
It's going to happen for you. I'm really sure.
I can't wait. It's one of my favorite Cutthroat Kitchen things.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite Cutthroat Kitchen thing that they do not do in season one is Alton saying how you should deal with the sabotage.
I like that a lot too. It's kind of, you can chart him getting kind of bored with the show as it goes. Like it makes sense. He left eventually because he gets a little bored and he has to start jumping in. There and then the sabotage has become more unhinged. There's more bobs and stuff. Like he spices it up.
By the way, I always want to catch these when someone says it. Someone did say this is Cutthroat Kitchen, not Cupcake Kitchen. I always want to do a this is Cutthroat Kitchen, not Blank Kitchen.
Yeah, good work. Not Gentle Shove, Patty Cake Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Zadi says, I'm not the kind of guy you never forget, or I'm the kind of guy you never forget, which they subtitled.
Yeah.
There.
This is they do an irritate in both these episodes. They do the thing where on the commercial breaks, they do the like the two lines and then they repeat them at the start of when they come back. And it's like they weren't even thinking about the existence of streaming.
It's one of the worst things about reality TV. Zadi gives us a Charles. They have a whole 40-minute cook time. Charles is grating the vegetables up, and she says, this is why I worked at NASA, so smart. This is smart. I just imagine there's not a whole lot of crossover between those skills.
And also, it is the, what else would you, I shoved a whole carrot into the middle of the cupcake.
Yeah, I wish I would like that. Like, you eat the cupcake off a stick.
Spoiler for, like, two episodes from now, where that is, where someone gets almost this exact same challenge and does that.
Sticks that, love it. Cutting fucks up her batter and does butter into sugar instead of sugar into butter.
Yeah.
This caused Liv to vocally freak out as a baker.
Good.
It was fun. I'm just watching because I know this is wrong, but I don't really understand why. And she's like, oh, no. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, her batter gets all lumpy. Cutting has a full-on fucking collapse. She goes into this whole thing where she's like, okay, I'll make three different preparations, and it'll just cut over to a convection oven where it is just goo melting over the sides. Like,
she's doing an approach where she just makes as many different things that are kind of like cupcakes as possible and hopes and just choosing the best one.
And literally loses track of what she serves.
Yeah, it's very funny there. There's a mid-round sabotage, of course. This is the five-minute freeze here. Zadi gets this for a bargain, gives it a cutting for $1,000. He gives it, Alden says, you know, you got to take your stuff out of the oven. He's either going to stay in the oven for 5 minutes or you're going to take it out. And she just lets it burn.
Yeah, well, I think it doesn't even burn. I think she made the right call there. I think it's just interesting they gave her the option.
Yeah, I like that too. It's they just don't none of the things she's making is good.
She didn't get cutting cream? Didn't get
cream. Yep. And Charles fucked up by forgetting that microwaves eat moisture. Like you have to have a lot more moisture when you cook in a microwave.
Yeah. We get to the judging. Simon comes back, shirt still untucked.
Yep.
We have a fun little Simon. Alton goes, "Who doesn't like a cupcake?
If it's made well."
Yeah, man.
Cold as ice. I love it. Zadi has a citrus cupcake, chocolate frosting. The cake is really good, but the frosting is too sweet.
I get this as a complaint, but I don't think it's a real complaint a lot of the time.
No, it's not a real complaint. It's also a thing where it would be, to me, always seems easily avoided. Like Zadi could have tasted it and then just did a drizzle.
Yeah.
And you would have basically taken care of it. I don't know why he coated the whole thing.
Yeah. We get a line here that sent me down a sad rabbit hole because Simon says, I think I might need a shot of insulin before I go to the next table. So I was like, is he fucking diabetic or is he biting our steez? He's not diabetic. He does have brain cancer.
Yeah, he got brain cancer last year. It is sad. He seems like he's being a trooper. I looked up his Instagram post about it.
He posts so much on fucking Instagram. Although he does post pictures of himself as a child and he was an ugly little kid and he knows it.
It's great. He also a variety of weird hats.
Oh, so many weird hats.
He loves hats. Cutting says it's a white chocolate and pistachio souffle cake with a white chocolate center. Now, this is my bias show here. If you have an entire pantry and you choose white chocolate, that is disqualifying to me.
I know, man. You're very strong on this point.
It doesn't taste good. And you have regular chocolate right there. I just don't know why you'd ever choose it.
I like white chocolate fine.
Yeah. And it looks fine, but there's no chocolate center. She fucked up. She just like served the wrong one because she created chaff for herself.
Yeah, she created so much extra. Like, did she have any sabotages this round? She didn't, did she?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Oh, she had the freeze. She had the freeze.
But she'd already had like 10 different cupcakes going.
Yeah.
At that point. It's crazy. This is crazy. This is a spin out.
Simon says it kind of reminds me of an easy bake oven cake.
Brutal. Cannot find the white chocolate center because this one didn't have it. Likes that there's nuts, but the chocolate sauce on top is split. Obviously, which, pretty crap.
She attributes that to the freeze because she wasn't able to keep stirring her chocolate.
Makes sense. Charles has a harvest cupcake. It mentions that the dressing is mascarpone ranch rather than trying to hide it.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting because ranch dressing frosting seems really gross to me, but apparently it's good.
I mean, you know, it's got that tang. I think I totally think it could work.
With mascarpone, that's very smart.
Yeah.
Like, Charles is smart in this. Chef Charles.
She worked at NASA.
Shit, you're right. Really tough cake for this one. You're really dry because of the microwave and not having enough moisture. But Jemdar says, let's say it has a lot of spoon resistance.
Yeah.
Which is me when my friends were trying to get me into bands in my early 20s.
Sure. That's the way we get back.
Yeah, that is the way we get back. I just, you know, I don't care if they're an underdog. Zaddy made the best one here.
Gary, in the first Tom Holland Spider-Man, did it annoy you that Tom Holland's listening to Spoon?
Why would that annoy me?
It just seems twee. It seems like something a 30-year-old music supervisor would have picked instead of a 14-year-old boy.
Maybe, but then we talked about this last episode, which is fucking weird, but I think about that Pavement song taking off on TikTok.
Sure.
Like, Gen Z is chopping and screwing and taking everything that came before.
That's fair. The Underdog's a great song for Spider-Man to listen to. It just,
yeah.
in the moment, I was just like, the child did not pick this.
It's one of the few Spoon songs I really like too. We can't get into mixtape discourse.
Yeah, sure, man. I didn't know I liked Spoon a lot more than you.
Discourse rewind.
Yeah.
Remember a month ago?
But yeah, by the way, also Chef Charles's cupcake is the ugliest looking fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
It does not look good. It does not look tasty.
It looks like a baseball.
It does look like a baseball. Zaddy made the best one. And the cutting gets eliminated. Did not deliver a good cake or good frosting.
Yeah.
And she had all her money. She forgot to bid.
Gary, is she dead?
No! Now you tell the story.
Okay, so that's okay. We're figuring it out as we go. So yeah. Gary tells us if they're dead or not, and then I'll tell you more about them.
Yeah, this works. I am comfortable with this, and it gives you proper credits.
It's not so much I want the I want the fun of the story.
I'm teasing you.
I'm being teased. Gary, it's appropriate. If you're teasing me, it's appropriate for me to act teased, right?
That's
what you want to have happen.
It is what I want to have happen when I tease you.
If you did the teasing and I went, that's fine. Am I really giving you the right thing as a partner?
No, that would feel bad.
So yeah. She has a restaurant. She has two restaurants in New Hampshire. One called Cure, which looks fine. And a new one she's opening called Char, which I don't like this woman. I've been very clear about that. She does a lot of Instagram. She has an edibles company, which is neat. But also trend chasey. And then I have a line here that I know is not nice, but I put in, which is that she seems sad to me in a way she will never be able to vocalize.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. She made a lot of real stupid fucking decisions on this thing. So it's like, it does seem like, you know, nothing going on a little bit.
She has a living on Instagram kind of approach that bums me out. And also looking at the food, like the reviews for her restaurants are fine, but it all looks like pretty soulless shit.
Yeah. Round three, it's pizza. It's only a 20 minute cook time, but they have pre-made dough.
Yeah.
Here. So pizza, you can make pizza in 20 minutes. The first sabotage is a pizza cutter. You can replace all knives with a pizza cutter.
Again, they're weird about knives. This is not a big deal. It does kind of fuck up Chef Charles some when she gets it. Like,
yeah.
It contributes to the rock she serves. But
yes. Zaddy jumps on it, gets it, or jumps it up to $5,000.
Yeah, they were doing some soft bids, and then he pumps it up to $5,000.
Got sick of that shit. Yeah. And he speaks in French. He's getting emotional in this. He, like, seems genuinely mad.
Mm-hmm.
At points, this is part of why I don't like him. He's getting real angry. And he says, je m'en fous, which is, and they're like, somebody, the other chef says, what does that mean? And he goes, I don't give a damn.
Well, he says, I don't care. It's actually, I don't, but it's actually translates as I don't give a damn. And some people translate it as I don't give a fuck, but people, I was reading Reddit translations of French, and people are like, no, it's not, I don't give a fuck. That's too harsh. It's, I don't give a damn. Like, it's mildly vulgar.
But he says, I don't care, because he wants to soften it up for TV.
Yeah.
There. Second sabotage, Alton comes out with a pizza box, and he's doing a lot, or a pizza bag.
Yeah.
He does a Russian nesting doll of, like, surprises to reveal there's an apple pie in a pizza box.
This, I think, is the one really, really creatively nasty sabotage this whole episode.
I think this one's cool. I did have the thought that I have sometimes with Cutthroat Kitchen, where I was like, this is entirely backported. Depending on what ingredients you got, this could rule. Like, you could sell this if you had the right ingredients.
Yeah, here's the thing. I would love to have heard Alton explain what he would do with this, because it's brutal. So to be clear, we haven't said. You have to throw out your dough, and you don't have to use anything inside the pie, but you must use the pizza crust as your crust.
Or your pie crust as your crust.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the pie crust as your crust. The one interesting thing about this is, I think what happens is what they intended to happen, which is to save the worst sabotage of the entire show for last, so it's a money game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We get to save them money. The reason why this ends up being bad is because of texture. It does not have the integrity to hold pizza.
Yeah, it's wet. Because it's a fucking pie. It's and not just a pie crust, an apple pie crust. Like, it is soaked in fluid.
It's wet, it's soft, and thin. You would have had to have sold, if you had the great ingredients for it, you would sell this. You would take ingredients that play nice with sweet, because there's going to be some apple there, and you would sell it as a Chicago style, like, deep dish. Like, you would pile on the ingredients and have this, like, you eat this with a fork.
Or you cover it, you cover it in ice cream, and it's a treatza pizza.
You could also do a treatza pizza, which are good. Dessert pizzas are good.
Love a treatza pizza. But yeah, so gaming-wise, Zadie's down to 7,400, so Charles just bids it up to 7,500 and gives it to him, because there are sabotages where people go, I can handle this. Nobody fucking wants this.
We get a delicious moment here, though, where Zadie has not been keeping track of his money, and he goes 7,500, and Alton, with like an orgasmic look on his face, gets to say, you don't have 7,500. You only have 7,400. And like, the look on Zadie's face is very delicious to me, as somebody who doesn't like him very much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is the auction game working the way it's supposed to.
Yes. And then, Charles goes 7,500. It's great.
Yeah. Zadie says an insane thing here. I quoted at the top of the episode where he says, you know what they say, 99 problems, but cooking ain't one. All right, dude.
He's trying. You know, we did used to say that for a bit. Charles Doe could not, like, she could not get it thin enough or anything. She was real rustic. She couldn't roll it out.
Yeah, so she didn't grab, when you're rolling out dough, like, you need to put, like, flour or something for it to, like, grip onto on the surface so that it sticks a little bit, and she didn't.
Yes.
I think one more, I get that it's a 20-minute challenge. One more minute of time could have made this less awful.
Yes. Yeah. Simon comes down here.
Oh, I know we're running long. I do want to say one more Zadie's line.
Of course.
It looks like a rock. I like rocks.
Thanks, Zadie. looking at the dough. There, this looks like I could see being served this in a pub.
Oh, like for
a long
sure.
Pizza. Simon comes down. Simon, you're just here as the pizza bell rang. Pizza, one of the great American things. He doesn't say that.
Yeah. The pizza bell's not anything, Alton. Come on.
No, it's the pizza bell isn't. You're thinking Taco Bell. Charlie says an insane thing here. I don't know what this means. Frenchie and I have gone through a lot today. We have battled it out, but he is going to eat my chocolate kisses as they rain a parade upon his head at the end. It's going to be over.
Yeah,
that sounds sexual to me.
Yeah, so to be clear, Chef Charles is a black woman, so hence why they're chocolate kisses. This is an insane run of words.
It really sounds like predictive speech, like just choosing the next, starting the word and then just choosing whatever auto completes.
Can I say it too, Gary? I think it's probably fun to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Frenchie and I have gone through a lot today. We have battled it out, but he is going to eat my chocolate kisses as they rain a parade upon his head at the end. It's going to be over.
It sounds so sexual to me.
It's a little sexual, for sure. Yeah,
like, eat my chocolate kisses as they rain a parade out upon your head at the end. it's a good sentence.
It just keeps going.
I know. It's really great. I love it so much.
I've said a crazy thing about the parade upon his head. I'd better add at the end.
To make sure. And then do a clarifying statement. Do my wrap up on the essay. It's going to be over. A neutral statement about what's happening. Zadi made a sweet dough, goat cheese, Parmesan thyme, caramelized shallots, garlic, portobello.
Probably tastes amazing, dude.
It probably tastes amazing. Liv was saying that at the time, you know, this is not pizza enough alike. And I was saying, no, this is like during CPK supremacy. This was exactly when this kind of bullshit on pizza was coming up in the world.
Yeah.
In a good way. Like, I love that shit.
Totally. I mean, the entire problem with it is structural. It just falls the fuck apart because it's a
pie can't crust. Do the fold. You know? That is the problem with this. Charles says that she made a pizza shard.
Sure.
And it's just a long piece. It's a long piece of pizza here. Like a huge French bread pizza, but on French bread with very traditional pizza ingredients. They sound good as well. Hot Italian sausage, prosciutto, fresh tomatoes, fennel.
Yeah, clearly tastes great minus the dough, probably, which is
the dough, which is not super good. Majumdar is like, oh, did you have help to carry it here? And she's kind of mad, and she goes, yes, my left and right hand, and two spatulas and a sheet tray. She seemed a little mad to me when she said this.
She is so on tilt at this point.
Yes, yeah, like the adrenaline's going high. And Zadi gets eliminated because of the toppings.
Not the toppings. I got this wrong. Right. It's crust. It's crust
and reminds me of pizza. He talks about how it's like more of a traditional pizza thing. Yep. Me and Liv had a little talk about this too, where I was like, yeah, but pizza is a medium. Like, you, pizza's fun because you can do anything with it. And Liv was saying, no, but it's more of a classic pizza. And I was like, no, it might be a better pizza, but the reasoning. And we were having a fun little.
But you guys have like a good relationship.
We have a great relationship. This is the kind of thing that keeps our marriage spicy. We talk about whether pizza is a medium or just a dish, and then we take it out in the bedroom, baby. Zadi is eliminated, and Charles does a good Joker laugh and starts freaking the fuck out.
She's very excited. Like, literally, as soon as it's announced, she goes, ha!
Yeah, it's pretty good. Zadi says, to me, it's not the food that failed me. It's the way I manage the money. Ask me if he's dead.
Gary, is Chef Zadi dead?
We don't know.
I don't think so. So he's been, for a while, he's been running an LA North African taco restaurant called, I think, Revolutionario in LA.
Okay.
Looks good, but I think it got closed in the pandemic, and now he's doing like a soft launch, but he hasn't posted on Instagram since 2025, where his daughter was getting into law school, so he posted that.
Okay. But I hope his restaurant goes well. That's expensive.
He's got a link tree, but there's no links on it.
That's sad. That's also quietly sad.
Yeah.
Charles won. $8,700. Pretty good payday for this.
Yeah. And then we have Alton compliments her gameplay.
Yep. She did well.
And then we get this.
Yeah. I like it when somebody wins and they're clearly just like way into it.
Uh-huh.
You know, she's acting like she won and she's fucking celebrating. There's no dignity in it. And I think it's charming.
Oh no, she's excited. She's excited.
Yeah. She says, this is the first time I ever put myself out there and I won. Simon said I won. And kind of
it's
Bubble Bath Babe's voice.
I don't want to give you too many notes. It's croakier. It's croakier than that.
Okay.
Simon said I won.
Yeah. Kind of like, like a goblin coming.
Yeah, I have it listed in the notes as coming voice, to be clear.
Yeah, a little bit coming. You had to ask me these questions for us to set up this bit.
I'm sorry, Gary. I'm not a professional podcaster. Is she dead?
No.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
We're not sure.
Okay. So, interestingly about Chef Charles is she, as far as I can tell, she's only ever worked as a professional chef for like 4 years in the 2000s.
Okay.
So she was working at JPL for like 10 years, And then she was working at Texas A&M as like one of their, like their assistant marketing director. Now, Gary, she is listed on LinkedIn as a assistant general manager at a Devon Self Storage.
Oh, that's bleak. She may as well be dead.
Hey, but she's got, look, she manages two different locations with over 800 units. She has a LinkedIn endorsement for embracing unexpected change.
Mm. Managing a self-storage space is so fucking sad to me.
It's pretty sad, yeah, like, but... Look, yeah. But Gary, go ahead, read for me all of her skills she has listed on her LinkedIn. Like, yeah, look at all her duties.
Meet and exceed sales objectives through unit rentals, insurance protection, and retail sales of other in-store products.
Great.
Maintain properties by enforcing occupancy rules, inspecting vacant units and completing repairs, planning renovations, and contracting with landscaping and waste removal services.
Right. So she's making sure people aren't living in there.
Yep. Customer management with new and existing tenants to collect new documentation and payments. Responding to tenant inquiries and complaints. So she mans the desk. Debt collection software and public record database management to set reconciliation strategies.
Sure.
Debt collector. Yeah.
No, but like a nice one. She's reconciling.
She does seem nice. The financial management, accounts receivable and payables towards property bills and fees. So she pays the rent.
Yeah.
For the places. Collects rent, vendor invoicing, operating overhead and sales strategies. Incident reporting, creation and documentation for tenants, units and property. Moving truck inventory and rentals.
U-Haul. They're renting U-Hauls too.
Renting U-Hauls. Merchandise inventory and supply chain management. Yardi, ClickUp, Zendesk.
Yeah.
And creation of auction documentation as regional auction chair.
She's still in auctions. She's still doing auction stuff.
She's still in auction, except Storage Wars style for the sequel to this show. We cover everything to Storage Wars.
Yeah.
So this Gary, seems like somebody padding a resume so fucking much to me.
I know. But Gary, look, we could look at this as a sad narrative, or mm-hmm. we could say this woman who always dreamed of being a professional chef and did it for a little while and then had to go take a regular person job, went on a fucking Food Network cooking show and won an episode and went home with $8,700 and then got back to her regular ass life.
And you know, parlayed it into a career managing. Yeah. I mean, it's not more sad than like most lives.
No.
It just, yeah. You know, it just seems like a sad job. It seems like the kind of thing Saul Goodwin ended up doing.
Do you think she wants to trade lives with Chef Cutting and her endlessly Instagrammed life?
Probably,
yeah. She has to run she has to fucking, probably. She probably doesn't have to clean the U-Hauls.
No, but she's got to do a lot of shit here. People do gross stuff and put gross stuff in storage units. I know from watching a lot of Storage Wars. There's probably a lot of mold and mildew and shit that she deals with. A lot of, like, PPE. That she has to deal with wearing.
Are they deads on our Storage Wars show is going to get sad.
It's going to get, it's going to be fucking jumping is what it's going to be. Like if people are sick of the answer to that always being the same, we got to get to the Storage Wars show.
Yeah. One of the main guys recently took his own life because of cyberbullying.
We could legitimately talk about Storage Wars, Brandy and, the guy, I can't remember his name forever. That is such a weird fucking couple. Don't know if I ever talked to you about this. They have.
I've never watched. Storage
oh my god,
Wars.
It's not good. It's trash. Yeah. But it's so fucking weird. This couple who hates each other, uh-huh. who run a thrift store, they own like an oaf. There's a guy named Bozak, who is
an
oaf that kind of walks around carrying heavy things for them. And every once in a while, they do these little off location shoots where one of them gets Bozak, and then they divorced, and the girl got Bozak in the divorce.
Oh,
and it's
okay.
Very surprising. And like, it's very easy to watch this and, you know, imagine like Bozak has been like harboring a love for Brandy for years, but he can't express himself because of a tongue accident.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Kind of a Hodor type guy.
There's a lot of Hodor energy to Bozak.
And this of course is the outro to our Cutthroat Kitchen show.
Like there's a lot of Hodor energy to Bozak. What can people do if they like the show?
I can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and support the whole network. Mm-hmm. You can also ask yourself if you feel safe enough to now recommend the show to friends in the confidence that next week's episode will not be about like the dicks on magic cards.
We don't advertise and we don't do anything to let you tell your friends about the show.
Yeah.
It's a strategy.
It's really a podcast shibboleth once again.
Yeah. No bidding, please. Until next time, all hail Gravlox.
Hail Gravlox.